Pat Flynn moved to Stockbridge, Massachusetts with her parents in 1959 when she was 15 and a half years old. She graduated from Williams High School and earned her BA from Randolph-Macon Women's College. Pat has been on the board of the Laurel Hill Association for 35 years, the last 32 as recording secretary. Her home on Park Street abuts Laurel Hill Park and is down the street from the Mary Flynn, Ice Glen, and Laura's Tower trails. Pat grew up surrounded by the natural and historical setting of Laurel Hill. The keeper of deep knowledge, Pat is known as the institutional history of the Laurel Hill Association. What's your connection to Stockbridge and the Berkshires?
I came here with my parents when my dad was transferred from Ohio to here with the Mead Paper Corporation. And so I'm, to paraphrase Lou Gehrig, I'm the luckiest person in the world to have just been brought here, and to be able to live in Stockbridge has been a blessing. So that's how I came to Stockbridge. And I went to, I came here as a 15 and a half year old and went to Williams High School, graduated from Williams High School, and went to college and came back here and worked for Berkshire Life Insurance Company my entire working career and retired, took early retirement at 60 in 2003. So, that's how I came to be here.
How did you begin working for the Laurel Hill Association?
Well, that's very interesting. And I moved to Park Street, abutting Laurel Hill Park, in 1979. And in 1982, I noticed that the trailhead sign at the Goodrich Memorial Footbridge had half of it had broken away. And so I found out who was the president of Laurel Hill at that time, which was Lillian Bender, and I went over to her house and knocked on the door and told her about the sign. And then as we were finishing up, she said, she said, one of our board members, Sue Burke, has been transferred, her husband has been transferred to Ohio, and would you be interested in filling her board position? So I said, sure. So in September of 1982, I came on the board. And in 1986, I became secretary when Susan Kleinwald, who was the former secretary, moved to Great Barrington, because in those days, you had to be a Stockbridge resident to be on the board. And then I served in that capacity until now. And in September of this year, I will have my 40 years. And to sort of paraphrase what they say about Queen Elizabeth and how many U.S. presidents she has spanned, I counted up just now, and I've spanned 14 Laurel Hill presidents. So now I'm basically the institutional history. And I do like all the history aspects of Laurel Hill. I just recently decided that I wanted to fulfill my longtime wish of getting pictures of all of the Laurel Hill presidents. So I've been doing that project, and I'm down to only two presidents that I can't find pictures for. One is Lakin, and the other is William E. Williams. So that's about the story of my association with Laurel Hill.
It's interesting that there's been a consistent back and forth with or connection to Ohio. That's kind of curious.
Well, actually, the Burks, Clay Burke, assumed the position that my dad had at with the company. There were a couple of interims in between, but yes, they were both working for Mead Paper. which is headquartered in Ohio.
Is that the I know there's an old paper mill just kind of down.
Yes, the Hurlbut paper mill in South Lee.
Mm.
When you're going through South Lee and you see the big, huge brick
yes.
mill, that's the old Hurlbut paper mill, and I think it still says Hurlbut on the side. So Dad was brought here as the mill had previously been owned by a private company, by a private family, the Sitzers. And so Dad came in to be president for Ed Sitzer when he retired. So he stayed on for a year after the Mead purchased Hurlbut. And in that time, Dad came in and learned the ropes and stuff and then took over when Mr. Sitzer retired. And so that's basically how I got here.
What was your initial role, and how has that changed?
Well, in 1982, when I first came on the board, I was just a normal trustee. And in 1986, I became president, or excuse me, I became secretary, and have continued in that role. And at this point, I'm basically institutional history. And I really like that historical aspect of Laurel Hill, how the organization came to be and how the properties have been acquired and things like that.
And who have been some of the key board members over the years?
Well, of course, Mary Flynn was a driving force with Laurel Hill. She was the first woman president of Laurel Hill. It took that many years for her. Her first tenure was in 1970s, and she kept the flame really burning and was an adamant supporter of the organization. And other people that made impressions on me was, number one was Jeff Parsons, who was second chair in the SALT II talks for the United States. And he made a comment in one of the meetings that has stuck with me ever since, and that is that the Laurel Hill Association is for the town of Stockbridge, not just the village here in the center of Stockbridge, but it's for the whole town, includes Glendale and includes Interlaken, and not to forget about that. And I've always held that as one of the mantras for the organization. Another person was Edgar Taft. He was instrumental in supervising the inspection and repainting of the Goodrich Memorial Bridge, and a humorous incident when it had been painted, he declared that it was a lovely shade of mud. Rush Taggart, who was president, he was not necessarily good in holding meetings, but he spent literally hours and days and weeks at the registry researching the deeds on all of the Laurel Hill properties and did a wonderful write-up for the properties up to that date. Helen Piggott, who was an institution in Stockbridge, she was also on the board. And another person that stands out is Doug Goody, who is currently head of real estate for Wheeler & Taylor. He was on the board mostly as treasurer and had a lot of input on the handling of properties and finances for the organization.
Great. And some of these names I recognize as trail names. Of course, the Flynn and Goodrich names are prominent names in the area, and some of the properties and trail names bear their names. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Very good.
And some of the benches, like there was an Edgar Taft bench in Lower Balcarce Woods, and there's a Mary Flynn bench.
What are the major aspects of the Laurel Hill Association?
A couple of years back, we held a little survey and asked people, what's one word that would describe Laurel Hill for you? And we got two basic responses. One was flowers, because of the flowers that we plant in town in the summer. And the other one was trails. So that those, I think, are the, in the eyes of the public, are the things that they see and relate to for Laurel Hill. And that's in direct response, I think, to the fact that we own close to 500 acres in the town of Stockbridge. And those properties are all open to the public, with the exception of one. And the property acquisitions that we have had, of course, align pretty much with the centuries. In the 1800s, our first acquisition was Laurel Hill Park itself, and the railroad station park, and Goodrich Park, which is actually the parking and trailhead at the Goodrich Memorial Bridge. When Mary Hopkins Goodrich, who founded the organization and called everybody in town to help clean up the town, because there was no really municipal government as we think of it today at that time in 1853. And the sidewalks were pretty much non-existent. The roads were horrible. There weren't trees. Cows were roaming everywhere and in the cemetery defecating, and brambles abounded. So she said to everybody in town, or posted notices, let's go up on Laurel Hill and meet and determine what we can do to help better the town and improve it. And that's when the Laurel Hill Association was born. And over the years, it was a community-based organization. In fact, the first community-based improvement association in the United States. And over the years, volunteers contributed to the improvement of town. And then over time, of course, municipal governments came into existence and took over some of the things that Laurel Hill initiated, such as trash cleanup and lighting in town, improving sidewalks and streets, and water, establishing water companies, etc. So the next set of properties that we acquired were in the 1900s, which included things like the golf course properties. Everything that you see going across West Main Street is Laurel Hill owned, and the Sedgwick Reservation, which has Laura's Tower and now the Mary Flynn Trail, and the Balcarce Woods, Lower and Upper Balcarce Woods, which were the gift of R.R. Balcarce, who was one of the partners or the co-founders, of the American Library Association. And Roeder Park over at the junction of 183 and the Glendale Middle Road, and the Rockwell Museum grants. Shamrock Woods, given by Mary Flynn, because she always wanted to see across from her house on Shamrock Street, the 2 acres, she always wanted to see that green. She didn't want it to be developed in any way. And then in the 2000s, the concentration has been on protecting the entrances to town. The late Peter A.A. Burley, who was the president of the American Audubon Society, approached Laurel Hill. I believe he was president of the Land Trust at that time, and said, let's try to preserve the entrances to town. And that's when we went together 50-50 in the purchase of the Chestnut Preserve there between Route 7 South and the wetlands. And after that, we also collaborated with a 50-50 purchase of the Four Corners property and the West Dale Preserve, which is the old Loveless area from West Dale Road up to the ridge and over to Route 102. So that those three sections of purchases, the 18, 19, and 2000s, divide out fairly nicely into those three groups of property purchases. And those properties have, over the years, some of them have been dormant from the standpoint that we haven't done a lot with them. And so that's one of my wish list items, is to make those properties more accessible. One is the Upper Balkers Woods, which has Cinderella's Pond, which is across from the Rockwell Museum. And the other property is sort of a hidden gem, and that is the Pagenstecher Mill property in Interlaken, across from Train Hill Road, which is the historically significant in that it's the site of the first pulp paper mill in the United States. So that resurrecting some of these legacy dormant properties, and we have just finished the a major restoration project for Laurel Hill Park itself. And that's wonderful. And we have removed amazing amount of, over the years, overgrowth that was blocking the wonderful soaring rocks. And so people can enjoy these places. And one of the current projects is to put property signs on those properties that are open to the public and have trails and are easily accessible. And so we've put in 5 property signs in the last year and have put in an interpretive sign at Laurel Hill Park, and interpretive signs will be going on more of the properties as we go along.
Very good. And I was going to ask you, making properties more accessible, does some of that entail making trails where there currently are none?
Yes, for Upper Balkers Woods, we have laid out a short trail that will take you to the bench that is there near Cinderella's Pond, and then reopening the old logging road into that property will be an ideal spot for a nice hiking trail through the woods. And that property is all flat, so it will all be handicap accessible, which will be wonderful.
That's great to hear. Some exciting things coming up.
Yes.
Who does that kind of work? Who blazes the trails and things like that?
Sometimes we have volunteers help us, like with Laurel Hill Park. Every year before Laurel Hill Day, when the anniversary of the first meeting on Laurel Hill, which we hold every year in August, volunteers help with clearing the trails and opening the, you know, raking, cleaning up. And at times we have had the Greenagers help with doing trail work. And so that, yes, we... And putting in things like parking at the upper or lower Balker's Woods, and we will be putting in some parking at upper Balker's Woods and potentially at Pagan's Decker Mill. So that gets hired out to obviously professionals to do that kind of work.
How has the Laurel Hill Association evolved over the years, and how is it moving forward?
In the beginning, of course, it was a totally community volunteer organization, and it has continued in that aspect, although one of the current challenges is the fact that many of the residents in town here now did not grow up here, and we have, over the years, there have been more and more nonprofits that have been established and are taking the resources, and so we now have to share resources and funding with other organizations. The current residents who have not grown up here did not go to school at the Plain School and grow up with Laurel Hill Park every day sitting behind the school where they would occasionally go up and play, so that they knew all the trails. And so the demographics are such that the people that live here didn't grow up here, so that they are not aware of Laurel Hill. So that one of the current challenges is to get our name out there and compete with the other organizations in town. So we've started after 167 years and decided that we needed to put in property signs on some of the more used properties, such as Laurel Hill Park, Lower Balker's Woods, the Chestnut Preserve south of town, and make people aware that we exist and who we are. So that has, and the outreach in town, in the last few years, we have held a couple of friend events at the Taggart House to let people know that we exist, and hope that they will help and support us. So that's been one of our challenges going forward, and we hope to be a conduit for information so that we can develop some awareness and educational programs to get people to our properties, to make them aware of some of the current issues that might be coming along, such as the protection of some of the trees that are undergoing stress from disease, and promoting information about these projects and situations so that we can help the public be more aware of what is going on and aware of Laurel Hill.
So a lot of that is outreach, communications.
Yes, outreach and communication and education on various topics. Not necessarily taking sides one way or the other, but fostering information gathering and dissemination.
Yes, and I know at one point there had been some discussion of plans for educational series or lecture series, possibly some classes. Is there anything happening with that?
Well, we've had some things like photography classes on the trails. So some of those things are in the works. That's one of the things that are, over the years, we have put more emphasis on is the educational aspect of getting information out to people and encouraging them via the properties to learn more, such as some of the heritage walks that that I have done for Laurel Hill Park and the Mary Flynn Trail, of that will disseminate a lot of historical aspects of these trails. And there's the Mary Flynn Trail in particular, because it was built on the bed of the old Berkshire Street Railway. Interestingly enough, the inventor of the first practical electric trolley was Stephen Dudley Field, who lived right behind St. Paul's Church. He was an inventor, but not necessarily a developer of the inventions. When the first trolley was to be instituted in Stockbridge and slated to go right down the main street, he was the leading opponent of having it go down the main street. He said, no, it is not going to spoil our main street. So he worked for a year with other opponents and established easements on the south side of the river to put the trolley line there and come down what is now Park Street, and the little house, the little building that's across from the cross Park Street from the gas station is the old trolley stop. Then it went back across the river and over into Glendale. So Stockbridge was the only town on the Berkshire Street Railway system that did not go down Main Street. So the inventor was the leading opponent of it going down street.
That's funny. So it was a little irony there.
yes, a lot of irony in everything that happens. And I have to add another humorous incident. When Arthur Schwartz was president of Laurel Hill, the insurance company that we had, they wanted to inspect Laura's Tower. Well, they hadn't a clue where it was, so they were led up. But when they came to do the inspection, they were in suits and wingtip shoes, and going up, hiking all the way up to Laura's Tower, which is a 600-foot ascent through the woods, must have been quite an experience for someone dressed in wingtip shoes.
Yeah.
As Arthur said, the loss control specialists arrived in wingtip shoes.
Yeah, not exactly what you think in terms of walking the back trails in the woods and so forth.
Yes, they were totally unprepared.
But
totally
stylish.
Clueless. Yes, but stylish. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. And anything else to mention, thinking about the future goals, aspirations, hopes for things that LHA can do and achieve in the area?
Well, I think we will need to continue to be proactive instead of reactive, as I think I mentioned in this little conversation before.
Yeah.
And keeping that in mind, we have in the last few years had established strategic goals for the organization, which has been a big step for us, and continuing to develop the committee system to be the driving force for Laurel Hill, and with that continued vision that we need to do outreach and encourage use and promotion of our trails and environmentally sound practices going forward.
Very good. Important work, yes. How can people find out more about Laurel Hill Association, and how can they get involved?
Well, a good place to start is our website, which is laurelhillassociation.org. And there you can see properties and some historical things like Laurel Hill Day observance write-ups, and about the trustees themselves. And there you can get involved, sign up to be volunteer, and donate to the organization, because we have to contend with competition from other organizations that didn't exist 100 years, 70 years ago, when Laurel Hill, you know, in its long history, so that support would be very helpful. But we hope that everybody will enjoy the trails and get to know Laurel Hill Association and find out more about us on the website. And we also send out newsletters, and which have a lot of information about what we're doing and ways that people can get involved.
Great. Well, thank you very much for the interview, Pat, and the information, and look forward to getting this out there and for people to find out more about the organization and to get involved.
Thank you.